Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by the software development house BBD. I'm very pleased to welcome Peter Scheffel and Andries Janse van Rensburg to the podcast. Peter is Chief Digital Officer at BBD, while Andries is an executive at the company. We're going to be talking today about digitally transforming your business and the ins and outs of getting it right. Now, this does seem to be a very topical subject right now, not least because of the lockdown and work-from-home measures that have been forced on many companies, forcing many companies to make dramatic changes to their digital environments, in most cases, on extremely short notice. Peter, let me bring you in first. Do you think the COVID-19 pandemic is going to rapidly accelerate digital transformation in South Africa, and is that a good thing or a bad thing if it's rushed?
Well, somebody sent me a WhatsApp message, and like many WhatsApp messages we've been getting around COVID, this one was particularly interesting. It said, who made the biggest impact in terms of bringing about digital change? Was it the CEO, the CTO, or COVID-19? And I think we all know the answer to that one. We've all been trying to move to digital, and we've been listening for years as to how we're ready and we're on the cusp to be ready to move to digital. But there was never this big driver in terms of that really provided a core element as to why we needed to move to digital. COVID-19 has proved to be the element that actually changed the game. It differentiated those companies that had been preparing and had been readying themselves to be able to operate in a digital way from those who hadn't prepared to operate from a digital perspective. And it really forced the issue. And that's where we are now. So I think it's been a watermark in terms of digital. But digital has come a long way in terms of that. From the early 2010s, we already saw moves towards trying to adopt digital, and that businesses were trying to move away from a traditional model of having a call center to operate businesses.
Do you think, though, Peter, that there's a risk now that companies are going to say, well, gee, we really need to get on this bandwagon, we need to do something, and that they end up rushing their digital transformation projects? Because I know digital transformation is something you need to approach with a great deal of caution. It's not something you want to rush into without thinking it through properly. Do you think there's a very real risk now that companies are going to rush into this and end up botching it?
I think many companies have already been down that road. Gartner was for a long time pushing the fact that you should have two waves in terms of your traditional IT and your new IT, and you should try and run alongside. And those models turned out to be quite difficult to actually implement. A lot of companies burnt their fingers in terms of the business went off on a guerrilla IT path, and that never came back into the real IT. And so they built some bespoke solutions that eventually were just abandoned. So the strategy in terms of moving to digital is something that very few companies actually get right, and get right the first time. It's something that really requires a small effort to start off with, and then once you get a groundswell, you can actually start to move more of the business across. Any of the companies who've tried to actually look at it as a larger picture element and try to adopt digital as a big effort have typically failed. Mm-hmm. Even those who are in digital spaces find these moves hard.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to talk a bit more in detail later in the podcast about perhaps the best way of starting out on these projects and starting to implement them. But Andries, let me bring you in here. Has BBD been inundated with work from companies in the last few weeks suddenly thrust into a world in which they aren't necessarily comfortable?
Yeah, Duncan, I think we've been fortunate enough, and even myself, over a longer period of time to having been involved in digital transformation projects in large enterprises that's sort of been geared up already for this. I look at our distributed working model that we follow in BBD that is, in a sense, a very good testament of our preparation, not necessarily specifically for COVID, but an effort that I started a very long time ago. And in line with that, there is a couple of requirements that come through for the organization to do these work. But as Peter's referenced in his, you know, the approach of, and I think you also mentioned it, that digital transformation is not an easy part or an easy path. It needs to have a proper strategy behind it. But I think also the clarification of what is digital transformation and digitization and innovation, you know, I think that's also an important aspect. But yes, I think there is a lot of requirements coming through, but I think also understandably of where we are with COVID and the situation around the world, might not be as much demand coming through at this point in time.
Peter, let's start. Let me come back to you and let's talk brass tacks here. What is digital transformation? Is there a simple definition?
So I think this is a difficult one in terms of it has become a bit of a buzzword. But if we just look at it from an industry's perspective, in the 90s, we were looking at digitizing the filing cabinet in terms of taking the filing cabinet and turning the back office into a computer system-based solution. Then we were looking at slapping on a web interface to that in the early 2000s. Then the mobile revolution came and everybody wanted a mobile app, but they hadn't actually put the information architecture and the enterprise architecture in place. So they were all caught with their pants down in terms of that the core infrastructure wasn't in place, and now the mobile app started to expose some of the reality of the organization. And the next wave is really in terms of adopting digital, where you now have a full view into the organization that you're dealing with. And that is what digital really is. You as the customer are servicing yourself with the services that the organization is providing. And the next wave of that is really the whole API consumption in terms of where you're not just got an actual front end in your hand, but a third party is accessing your services and getting your services and aggregating your services through a different front end. But each of these, when it's a pure digital process that's actually end-to-end digital, the customer sees all the way to your back office, your traditional back office. Mm-hmm. Many of the digital initiatives that are out there are actually just veneer thin in terms of that the end consumer is seeing a digital journey, for example, a sales onboarding journey where they're applying for a product which is totally digital. But what is the old adage? Straight through processing, STP, it's straight to the printer. And so it goes to the printer, and then from the printer, somebody recaptures that information into the back office, and then the data gets captured incorrectly, and you don't have an end-to-end digital process. So there's a lot of digital veneer work going on, which is fine because that's the first step towards simplifying the process, because you cannot produce a 20-page application form for somebody to apply digitally. Mm. You actually have to go back to your business and say, do you really need all these fields? What are the essential elements that you need from the end user to actually capture, and then take the process through? And then you don't want to be exposing the complexity of your back-end systems to that end user either. You want a much simpler journey such that they can end-to-end go through a sales journey and then also end-to-end go through a servicing journey should they ever need to service the product that they've purchased from you.
I remember back in the mists of time, back in the 1990s, the hot button topic among management consultants was business process re-engineering. Is digital transformation an evolution of that?
So that's an interesting question, because there is still an element of re-engineering that is required in terms of to go digital, because you're cutting out a certain element of the back office or the middle office of any operation. But in doing so, you now need to define processes that are quick and responsive in terms of that the customer can do themselves or that respond in a reasonable amount of time. And so you do have to look at business process reengineering. And it is, again, just to deviate off that point slightly, but to talk to the point of what Gartner was hammering on previously in terms of that it's marketing, business, and IT working together as a collective, and no longer IT building a solution that sits behind the wall and business just simply says to IT, this is what you need to build. It needs to be that collaborative solution of those three parties working together in order for it to succeed, which traditionally was not required.
Well, that actually leads me very nicely into my next question, actually, and let me direct this one to Andre. So I was going to ask whether it should be the IT department that is leading these projects. In many respects, I guess these projects involve something of a cultural shift and a shift in the way you've always done business. And for many company leaders, that's surely a daunting proposition. Who should be in charge of this?
I think if you look at traditionally around digital transformation, it says it's, you know, I've got a new strategy that I do business against at the back of an optimized IT process or IT implementation. So I firmly believe your IT should maybe be part of the drive to it, but, leaning back towards or reflecting back on what Peter said now, it should be a collective effort between IT and business and marketing at the same time. But I do believe that IT plays a very important role in digital transformation.
All right. Peter, can companies do this alone? When should they look for help from external parties?
I think many companies have tried to do this alone, and this is where the whole role of the chief digital officer has come into the foray, where the term was defined in the 2010s, and companies had this view that they had to bring on a chief digital officer. Some companies brought on a chief digital officer. That role was often at odds with the CIO, because which budget goes to the chief digital officer, which budget goes to the CIO, and who is then actually overall responsible for digital initiatives. Some companies structured it more towards a business initiative, that business started to take more of a driving role from a digital perspective. But it highlighted the fact that business operations typically don't understand how software builds work, and that software builds are not the same from a staffing and an execution perspective as staffing an operational team and an operational capability in a business. And so that tension was created, and so a number of chief digital officer roles were created, and then a number of them have been destroyed that we've seen in the last 4 to 5 years. The role is actually, the number of people in that role, especially in the South African market, has actually decreased.
Interesting.
As companies have found that that particular role doesn't necessarily suit their structure. Either it was consumed into the CIO's role, that the CIO was now told you are responsible for digital as well as traditional operations and traditional software development, or it became a more strategic role and moved to the strategic portfolio in the executive. But there hasn't actually been the strong adoption of the chief digital officer as was originally planned. So coming back to your question in terms of, is it easy for organizations to do this themselves? It's often quite difficult to take somebody out of the business who typically doesn't have a technical understanding for how to build a digital solution and how to simplify the process to actually get the process such that it would be consumable from a digital perspective. And then we haven't talked around the CX and the UX issue as well, in terms of the client experience and the user experience journeys. The fact that you actually need to bring in client experience teams and user experience teams in order to create something that is now effectively your new storefront.
Yeah.
So it's been a difficult transition for businesses to understand. How do they bring their brand? How do they bring all the elements of their business into this new storefront such that, because the user in a digital experience, the only piece the user experiences is either your website or the digital app. And so everything that they've previously experienced from a customer perspective in a brick and mortar branch or through another channel, traditionally a phone channel or a call center channel, now has to be conveyed through this element. And just presenting a user with a bunch of noughts and ones doesn't easily convey that whole feeling of that now I'm dealing with the same company that I was dealing with before, and that their digital experience is the same, is presenting the same values and the same experience and the same feedback that I would have experienced going through a more traditional channel.
I can't imagine the chief digital officer role is a particularly pleasant one. You're often having to get people out of their molds, out of the way they're used to doing things, and possibly dealing with a lot of internal company politics in the process. What would you say, Peter, are the key skills, the core skills of a CDO?
So the CDO needs to have, so more than an enterprise architect, needs to have the social skills to be able to present at the executive level to the board in terms of, because these initiatives are typically expensive, so justifying a significant budget is definitely part of the role, but then also the ability to get both the business and IT to actually work together and collaborate, which are areas that traditionally have never worked together, and then throw in marketing for an extra bit of spice, and get those three to actually work together in a coherent way and execute on a budget that's been provided from the board. And there you start to see why very few of the chief digital officers have actually been successful in their roles.
Yeah, interesting. Now, Andres, let me fire this question to you. I imagine that many of the solutions that have been put in place for the work from home measures that we've seen since late March look a bit like Sellotape and Prestick at the moment. I also imagine that CEOs are starting to ask demanding questions of their IT departments around digital transformation, and I'm sure there's a lot of discussion around that still to come. But where should these conversations be starting? What are the things that companies should be looking at first before they do anything else?
Specifically around a work from home, what we've experienced, and I'm going to base my answer on the experiences that we have, and our distributed working model that we've got, it's essential that your workforce has very good connectivity. It doesn't matter where they work from. So data quality or quality of your data connection is vastly important. I think the quality of the collaboration tools that you use in a distributed workforce, or even this work in the work from home situation that we work in today, the same, very important. We need to communicate regularly. I mean, it's not even we don't communicate daily. We communicate hourly. We can communicate per minute with our teams and when we deliver in any program. So in my experience, I think that's vastly important. Important to understand. Yeah, so for me, they're the tools, collaboration tools, tools that facilitate people working together, understanding what we're working on. So I would say connectivity, vastly important. Tools, collaboration tools, very important. And then from a digital transformation point of view, also the automation part of things, of how easy it's we can automate things, helps us a lot in our setup, in how we work. As an example, if I need to do a build, it needs to kick off automatically and the build needs to happen. We can't sit and wait for someone that's not available at this point in time to do a build, because then we lose productivity within the teams. So I think that's vastly important in terms of the work from home scenario we're sitting in today.
Peter, what, in your view, are the conversations that should be happening first as companies come out of COVID-19, companies that haven't thought of digital transformation and are now thinking actively about it? What should they be talking about in that, around that boardroom table first, or in that Zoom meeting?
Yes, so I think the first thing that we've seen in terms of, for a long time, we've had a hard time to convince customers that the ability to work from home is a reality and that productivity can be achieved. And so there's always been a reticence to say, yes, you can work from home, but you're not as productive or you're not as capable. And I think this period has now very clearly shown that especially people in the software business are as productive, if not more productive, in this period because they are able to work remotely. And so we need to be re-looking at how we're structuring our businesses in terms of, do we need all that office space? Do we need all those people in those desks? How are we, from a digital perspective, provisioning a call center that doesn't require staff to be sitting at a physical call center? How are we rethinking our digital presence in terms of those businesses who haven't been able to operate during COVID-19? I think they've had a good period of time now to be thinking and strategizing around what is their approach to digital. So when they're now coming back in terms of them coming back on stream, they should now be looking at themselves far more critically and saying, what is it that we can do such that if the next pandemic comes, we'll be prepared.
How much of a competitive advantage can you get by going through a digital transformation exercise? It obviously, I'd imagine, varies by industry, but can it be quantified by market share gains? And on the flip side, to what extent are you potentially undermining your business by continuing with business as usual while your competitors become digitally transformed?
So there's an argument in terms of whether you start the digital business to cannibalize yourself, that you're creating the market against yourself such that you are the dominant player in the future.
Which is very difficult to do.
Yes, and a number of businesses are out there trying that, and some are actually succeeding in terms of that's the model that you want to do. The other model is simply to say that if you have a sales force out there, you have a limited capacity and you have a limited capability. The magic ideal in terms of digital business is that your business is open 24/7. You can scale and have unlimited sales in terms of if your digital platform is set up, and we haven't touched the cloud at all. But since the cloud has arrived in both form of Azure and AWS, you now have the ability to have at least some local compute capability and scale capability. So therefore, your digital business should be able to respond to the demand in terms of your customers using your platform and scale out your platform to the extent that's required. Plus, you should be able to do this with a very small actual operational team and a small business team that puts solutions like this together, as opposed to a more traditional business that would scale in terms of resources and office space along those lines.
Well, you mentioned cloud. I was going to come to it a little bit later in the discussion, but since you've raised it, let's tackle it now. And I guess the question I have is what approach should you be taking to your existing IT assets? I think many companies have multiple systems, multiple databases, layers of middleware and complexity to deal with that could impede them in a digital transformation project. Should there be a simplification of those layers? Should that be a top priority, perhaps through some partial move to the cloud? Or does that only come after you're some way into your digital transformation journey?
So I believe it needs to be part of your actual transformation journey, because the cloud enables certain elements of your transformation journey, because it gives you the building blocks to produce the digital journey. However, don't be fooled by what it says on the box. So the cloud is made up of a whole number of small boxes, each of them with a very pretty label that claim a whole lot of stuff on the label. But it's only when you start to actually dive into each of the particular elements of the cloud that you start to realize there's lots of complexity underneath that, And there's a significant amount of effort that goes into unpacking each box and getting each box to work together with the other boxes that you've chosen. And this is often where the cloud journey unravels and the digital journey unravels, because what originally appears as a simple exercise and somebody who's gone out to buy the boxes and put them there and basically say, here's the pattern, simply go and do that, it turns out not to be that simple. And it turns out this is where you then need to get the experts involved and bring a company like ourselves on board to actually help you walk through that journey, because it looks very simple and it looks very easy. But companies have tried to employ their own skills and build up their own skills and learned the hard way that it's something that takes 6 months to 12 months to 18 months to actually build up the skills and build up the capability. And something that runs in a test environment doesn't run when you put it into a production environment. And there are different nuances to each of those processes. So as part of the digital journey, adopting the cloud is important, and also adopting the cloud in terms of for its core cloud capabilities. There's a lot of cloud washing that's going on in terms of where companies are simply doing infrastructure as a service and saying, I'm using AWS, but all I'm actually doing is I've provisioned the machine in AWS the same way I've provisioned the machine on-premise previously. And so you're not getting any of the benefit there in terms of you're now still responsible for, is that machine up? Is the operating system up to date? Is it running out of disk space? All those elements are still there. And so then you carry that cost and you carry the operational responsibility, which traditionally the CIO has had to deal with. But you're now just lumping the CIO with more burden in terms of they now need to look after the on-premise solution, plus they have to look after your new digital solution, and they're being told that their budget is being slashed by 10%.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask about IT budgets, because with COVID-19, companies are under a lot of pressure and are going to be looking to cut costs. Do you think this is potentially a big negative for IT spending in South Africa and for these types of projects that we're talking about now?
So companies are definitely looking at cutting costs, but I think, as we discussed earlier in the session, if a company is going to leverage off a digital business, there's a need to invest into that digital business. And so some budget needs to come not from a traditional IT perspective, but from an initiative or an innovation budget that is for a business department or a business area to actually introduce that innovation, and new projects get created out of that form. And those are the projects that we've seen recently coming out of some of our customers since COVID-19 has started, that companies are actually kicking off new initiatives that are focused to get them to be more streamlined down the line, because that spend in effect is a saving on their balance sheet a year or two down the line.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Andries, I want to ask you a question about, I mean, a lot of this is going to be customer-facing stuff. To what extent should companies involve their customers in their digital transformation programs, and how practical is that?
I think it's one of the key criteria for the success of digital transformation is to talk to your customer. I think I don't think it's a pie in the sky situation. I think you need to definitely listen to your customer. Very important to listen to them. Not just once, but I think it needs to be a continuous process where you need to provide value to the customer quickly, but also take into account the feedback that comes from them to adjust quickly. And when we talk about talk about the cloud and the ability that it provides you to be agile and to adjust, gives you that ability to listen to your customer and make adjustments quickly to make sure that you get the value that the customer requires out to them very quickly.
I think very often the customer's interaction, though, isn't with the management team making the decisions around the digital transformation project. It's very often with a call center agent, for example. Do you think that to get these projects right, people like customer facing employees in the organization should be intimately involved in helping shape it?
Yes, I believe so, that they get the feedback. I think in my experience and in some projects that I've been involved, the feedback that comes into the customer or into the call centers, you know, if you look at surveys that's running on systems and the feedback that comes from there, your TNPS ratings and all those elements from a digital presence point of view, that gets used very effectively into adjusting the product at the end of the day and how to present that product to the customer.
Right. Peter, I'll direct the last question to you. I know that BBD advocates so-called agile feature teams. What does the company mean by that, and why are they important? Guys, are you there?
Can you repeat the question, please, Duncan?
Sorry, the internet's giving us some grief here. I'll repeat the question. I know the BBD advocates so-called agile feature teams. What does the company mean by that, and why are they important?
So BBD has been developing software for a very long time, more than 35 years. And we have adopted various methodologies and approaches that we find successful. And the idea of an agile feature team is basically that we have an approach whereby a team acts as an autonomous entity and is able to work together and help each other to deliver a solution. So in terms of general methodology speak, it's loosely based on a Scrum team or what's called a Scrum team, but we have certain elements that we focus on because we're very much interested in the actual delivery of the team and the output of the team. And so we have certain quality measures and measurements that we put in place in order to get the team to deliver at the rate that our customers expect. And this is where we perform particularly well in terms of producing the output that's required. We also question in terms of when a process doesn't make sense, and we have a wealth of experience in terms of building solutions to be able to see that when a small issue happens during a testing phase, that's a potential for something that could happen the first day the system goes live. And so our agile teams focus on providing that capability and that experience to the solutions that we build.
Great. Any closing thoughts, Andries? It sounds like you guys are going to be very busy for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think I hope we're going to be very busy. It's good. But yeah, I think it's I think it's been a pleasant ride for me personally on this transformation process with the customers that I'm involved with. And I think, you know, if you look at what it brings to people and the organizations and how they're going to have to behave to survive in the economy and the economy of the future and where we're going, it's important that people need to understand what the digital transformation really is and how they can adopt it to make life better for themselves.
Peter, you guys are going to be busy. How do you see this playing out over the next 12 to 18 months post-COVID?
So I think they're going to be hard times for companies. Companies are going to need to make a lot of difficult decisions. But in terms of digital transformation, this is still something that should be on the agenda. It's something that they should be looking at seriously, adopting seriously, and seeing how they can transform their business to operate digitally. The global economy is the global market is going to look very different to what it looks today, and so the ability to sell digitally across a broader geography is going to be more challenging going forward. So businesses need to look at that digital transformation with new eyes and apply that thinking and then bring the right teams on board to be able to achieve the goals. And those goals are start small, build on something that you know is going to work, and then grow the initiative to something that you as an organization can manage and to achieve a successful digital transformation.
Andries Janse van Rensburg is an executive at BBD, and Peter Scheffel is the company's chief digital officer. Thank you, gentlemen, for a great discussion and for your time today.